Amen. Turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 12. We begin reading in that first verse. As we read these words, I hope that we'll always remember that they, according to the New Testament, are written for our admonition, those of us upon the whom the end of the age shall come. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take of it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from among the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and upon the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs, and with all the pertinence thereof. And ye shall leave nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. I don't know why this came to my mind so vividly. But a long time ago, when I was associated with the police department. Back in the room where the officers would meet before they went on the shift, there was several glass-fronted cabinets. And in those cabinets were pictures of various things, and one was a picture of a crime scene. And it was a crime scene in which a man who was then a Marine, I don't know for what reason or what his mental state surely was very bad, but in a house or an apartment in Jacksonville, he took a knife and he slew his family. And then he, with the same knife, took his own life. And that picture was vivid in my mind for a long time, even to this day, for one particular reason. And that was because it showed all the blood. Blood-covered bodies, blood on the floor, blood on everything in that apartment. A madman had just killed and slew and even disemboweled his own self with a knife. And the blood was everywhere. And I thought about it many times after that. How that we as human beings oftentimes at the very sight of great losses of blood, we're just moved somehow by that. Some people cannot even stand the sight of blood. Why is that? Why does the sight of blood so move us and make us fearful? Well, the truth is that blood is always a symbol of life. And when it is shed in its fullness, that means death. And maybe for this reason that we do not naturally want to read the Bible. Because the significance of blood in the Bible cannot be overstated. The truth is, this is a bloody book. Blood in its beginning chapter. Blood in its ending chapter. And blood all the way through, on every hand, in every scene almost, there is blood. But the truth is, you will never know the true and the living God without knowing something of the significance of blood. Why? Because blood in the Scriptures tell us much about the true character of God. When the Lord opens your eyes to the truth, blood will be used to show you something of the character of the true God. And it will be used to show you his most often neglected attribute. What is that? His justice. His justice. If God were not a God of justice, there'd be no need for so much blood to be shed. But blood speaks of God as he says that he is, a just God and a Savior. And I thought about it just then, how wonderful it is that he can use blood to show how he is both, how he is a just God and how he is a Savior. Blood. Because it was God himself who, in forbidding the eating or drinking of blood in the Old Testament in Israel, he says it is because of this. The life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. And blood shed means that a life has been poured out. Do you remember what the first blood that was poured out on this earth was all about? Well, you say it was when Cain shed his brother's innocent blood on the earth. That was the first. No, that wasn't the first. The first was God himself, who in slaying the animals made coats or coverings or tunics for Adam and Eve to cover them when they sinned in the garden, when they went and hid themselves in the garden and tried to cover themselves with fig leaves, God showing that he would not accept that, but he'd only accept his provision for sin, which was a just one when he slew the lambs and made them coats or coverings and thereby showed his way of salvation. God showed something about himself, and he showed something about man, and he showed something about how he saves sinners. Because the unchanging truth of God that we must face, that has not changed, even in 2019, is this: the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Blood's going to have to be shed. It shall die. Because sin, it is said in Scripture, brings forth death. But the problem is the death of a sinner can in no way satisfy the justice of God. If you died, and if in some way your death as a sinner could save a sinner, you'd only be able to save one sinner. But the blood of a sinner cannot redeem. All these pictures, and the one in this text especially, he says, your lamb shall be without blemish, without spot and without blemish. It will be a perfect sacrifice. It must be a perfect substitute. And anything else cannot redeem. And so we see that only God can save. Only God can forgive sin. and he cannot do it in a way that violates his holy character. Just can't do it. We sung that song on Wednesday night, Immortal, Invisible, one of my very favorite hymns. Immortal, Invisible. And in that hymn, it says something about this particular aspect of God's character. He says, "Thy justice like mountains, high soaring above." You can't tear down mountains. Mountains are described as surrounding Jerusalem. You can't tear down these mountains of God's character, mountains of justice, high standing before God. He cannot change and be altered. And in this text is a picture of God's salvation, a picture of God's redemption, and a picture of God's righteousness. You see, Israel is in bondage in Egypt, just like we're in bondage to sin because of sin. Israel is in bondage to Egypt, and God has said he'll bring about his justice to bear on all of the land. Look down at verse 4. "And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man to his eating shall make your count for the lamb, for your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." Now, God has already said that he's going to visit the land of Egypt and that he is going to smite the firstborn in all the houses of Egypt. It's a judgment that's come up against God because of their sin. And the truth is, the sin of Israel was just as much as the sin of Egypt. They all deserve the just wrath of God. They all deserve to die because of their sins. But this is the mercy of God to his people, to his Israel, and his grace and mercy to them in the midst of all of this is in a just way he will redeem his people. Look at verse 7. "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it." And what's going to happen? What does happen? That night, God goes in Egypt, and he kills the firstborn of man and beast in every one of the houses of Egypt. And he does so justly. But he has mercy on everyone in those houses in the land of Goshen, in those houses of Israel, that people called by his name. And he executes judgment on those houses also, but he does it in a substitute. He does it in that lamb. And they were to take that blood from that lamb in the house that he represented, and they were to take that blood and paste it or paint it or swath it on the sides and the lintels of that door of every house of Israel. You talk about some awesome graffiti. Here you walk into the land where all of these Israelites lived as slaves, and I don't imagine they had fine houses or dwelling places there. But everywhere you look, at every front door of every house in Israel, there's this bloody scene with blood painted on the door lintels and doorposts. You see, he's going to redeem a particular people. Every picture of redemption that we find in the Bible is a particular redemption. He doesn't redeem these Egyptians. He redeems the people called by his name that he determined to be his people, that he determined to be gracious to and merciful to. He redeemed them, and he commanded them to put that blood on the doorpost. And that for this reason. It is a picture of the redemption of God's elect by Jesus Christ the Redeemer in his character, in his redemptive character as the Lamb. You remember when John the Baptist was preaching and baptizing him, and he saw the man Christ Jesus coming down the banks where he was baptizing. What did he say? He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." This is God's Lamb. This is God's Son, whose purpose it is to come and redeem and to lay down his life for the sheep. He's God manifest in the flesh. Turn over to Acts chapter 20 for a minute. Paul is here instructing, I believe it was the Ephesian elders, concerning how they were to minister to the saints at Ephesus. Verse 27, he says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Next verse. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased, which he hath redeemed with his own blood." If we did not know that Jesus Christ was God by any other verse, that would be enough. He says, "Take care of the church of God." That's a particular people and a particular redemption, which is by purchase of his own blood. You mean that the church of Jesus Christ, do you mean that the elect of God, the chosen people of God, the children of God, they couldn't be redeemed any other way? Only by blood. Blood. Only by the shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. Only by the redemption in which a particular price is paid for a particular people, and that price is his blood. And look down at what he tells them in chapter 12 and verse 11. He says, that night you're to go inside. You're to put your shoes on. You're to gather your staff up. You're to eat this flesh roasted with fire. You're not to boil it. You're not to do anything to sodden it with water. You're to roast it with fire, and you're to take the whole thing. And don't you leave nothing behind. If there's anything left over, you burn it with fire. Verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. This is the Lord's Passover. And when he comes to the book, in the New Testament, all the books of the New Testament, they set forth Christ and His blood as the sacrifice, as the price of redemption for all those who are redeemed, for all His people and His children, the ones that He will save from their sins. He'll do it by blood. He'll do it by blood. He'll do it in a way that's represented here in this text. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians and look down at verse 7 in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Where Paul clearly makes the association here. He says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Just like that lamb that night in Egypt was slain and his blood applied to those houses, to those doors, and it was partaken of by these people, these Israelites, just in that same way that they were redeemed. Christ is the true Redeemer, and his death the true redemption of his people. He's our Passover. And then if you look over in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter goes along with the same thought clearly. He tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things." You were not redeemed with the things that were corruptible, not even the silver and gold that were typifying redemption in the law that was given to Moses. You're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. You who do believe. If there's one thing that in all these scriptures about this Passover and about this Lamb of God who was to die in the place of His people, who was to accomplish this redemption, the one thing that seems to be emphasized in every place is His perfection. Is His sinlessness. In His holiness. Everything about Him says that He must be sinless in order to lay down His life for a sinful people. But I want you to note this morning. They did all these things, and they went inside, did what they were told to do. They sat there as we would. They were just human beings, just like we were. And they sat down, they ate these things, they ate this Passover, they dressed this way, put on their shoes, they held their staff in their hands, they ate it in haste. Were they safe? There are all kinds of deliverances and rescues in the Bible. Were these people safe? Let me ask you this. When those eight got into the ark and the floods came, the rains, were they safe? I'm sure that they had feelings. I'm sure that they had fears. I'm sure they could hear the wailing. Can you imagine that? The wailing as those Egyptians realized what it was taking place. The man goes out to his barn and he sees the firstborn of the asses and the camels and the sheep and the goats. They're laying all their dead, and he runs into the house to see what is going on, and his firstborn son is laying there dead. I can just imagine their minds were playing tricks on them at times. You ever have that to happen? You read the Word of God, you read His promise. 5 minutes later, you're full of doubt about that promise. Were they safe? And more than that, are we safe in Christ under His shed blood for the remission of sins? God said this in verse 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon your houses where you are." Here's the holy God. He's looking down at these Egyptians, and they are only evil. But He's looking down on these Israelites, and by nature, apart from grace, they're the same way. They all come forth from the womb speaking lies. They all sin and come short of the glory of God. And here is God prescribing something that naturally they would just say, "Wow, this is so wild. This is so crazy. I don't." But God said it. This can't be really a way that sin can be put away or atonement made, but God said it. They are surely to have had these anguishes. Are they saved? Look down in verse 12 or 13. He says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you." When I see the blood. You see, you remember when Abraham took Isaac up into the mount to offer him as a sacrifice at the command of God. And Abraham gathered everything up and he started up there, and Isaac was a bit inquisitive as to what was going on. He knew what was necessary to worship God, a sacrifice. And he asked his father, he said, "I see the knife and I see the fire and I see the wood, but where is the lamb? Where is the sacrifice?" And Abraham told him, he said, "God will provide himself a sacrifice." And that's the only sacrifice God will accept is the one He provides. But notice this. He said God will provide Himself. Himself? Yes. Because this is all about sin against God. This is all about how sinners are reconciled to God. This is all about how men are justified or declared righteous by God. It's all about God. Religion presents salvation as all about you, all about men. But salvation is all about God. It's about the satisfaction of God against the matter of our sins, and it's only by blood. Perfect, sinless blood, and more so, the blood of God Himself. He said, "When I see the blood, on every given day, you could look at me and see so much sin, just in what you can see, not what I'm all about, not what's in me, but you can look at me and see nothing but sin. But salvation isn't by God looking to us." He said, "When I see the blood." You're quaking there in your houses, you're full of unbelief, you might not have even like the taste of those bitter herbs, and you're kind of squinting in all this displeasure with that. But he said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. But I won't pass over your substitute. I haven't passed over your substitute. The one that represents Christ, that lamb without spot and blemish, that Passover lamb whose blood has been shed as a result of you killing him, putting him to death, and taking his blood and putting it on the lintels and doorposts. When I see the blood, when I see that finished work, I'll pass over you. But the only reason I can pass over you is because I didn't pass over him. All my judgment fell on him. All my suffering fell on him. All that I was due for my sins fell on him. When I see the blood." You see, God looks to Christ's blood alone. That's why Paul said, "I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ." Oh, not just Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. His blood shed, His perfect blood poured out. His perfect life sacrifice as one sins, one sacrifice for sins forever. His finished work. Sometimes we can't see the blood so clear. Sometimes we forget the blood. Am I right? But God has never stopped looking at the blood. That is, to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When I see the blood. Turn over to Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Well, let's go back and look at verse 8. Romans 5 and verse 8. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You don't know anything about the love of God. I don't care how much you say you know about it, how much you feel it. You don't know anything about the love of God until you know something about what Jesus Christ accomplished in His death. That's the love of God. In this, the love of God is manifested that Christ died as a substitute for us. Much more than being now justified. As somebody said, we're justified by faith. But what they mean is that their act of faith is what justifies. And just so that we would not believe that, just so that this error would be obvious, He says that much more than being now justified by His blood. His death. It's God that justified. It is Christ that died. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. There may be times when we are full of unbelief. There'll be times when our sins cause us to think there's no way we could ever have any hope. But we will be saved from wrath. His believing people will be saved from wrath because they've been justified by Him by His blood. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, not by lambs, goats, calves, whatever, in the Old Testament types and pictures. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Look over in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 7, he's talking about Christ. He says, in whom we have redemption. Through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His blood. Grace. God said to those Israelites, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the truth is that God has always seen, He has always looked to His Lamb when looking to His people. What did the Revelation say in chapter 13? He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. What did John say? He said, "Behold the Lamb." What does Revelation say? "Worthy is the Lamb, the spotless Lamb." And when Christ was crucified, how long was that ago? Over 2,000 years. He said, "When I see the blood." The difference is, in our experience, when the Holy Spirit comes to us and through this Word shows us the finished, accepted, blood sacrifice, salvation that Christ accomplished on that cross, when He enables us to see it, that's when we have peace of conscience. That's when we can rest. And every time we go to that belly button introspection, as I call it, every time we're looking in for evidence, every time we're looking at our experience for something we've done or not done, for placing us in one position or another position, every time we take our eyes off of the finished work of Christ, that's when we don't have peace in our conscience. But even then, if we're His children, He made peace by the blood of His cross. That doesn't change that peace. When we can't see the blood, God can still see the blood. He's always looked to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He enables us to look and to trust and to see by faith the justice satisfying God, blood of God, we have peace in our conscience. It amazes me sometimes when I see hymns that I've sung all my life. And all of a sudden it dawns on me what they're saying. And sometimes it's very subtle. I don't ever remember a time when I didn't sing that song, "Nothing But the Blood." It says, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." When the believer sings it this way, what has... what has washed away my sin? What has made me whole again? That's rest in a finished, accomplished work of redemption, and it's by the blood of Jesus Christ. John says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, who's the light? Christ is the light. The gospel is the light. In that light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. All sin. Paul says in Romans, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. whom God hath set forth, a propitiation through faith in His blood. Trusting some kind of mystical Jesus, trusting some kind of historical Jesus. No, it's faith in His blood, in His accomplished death, in His work of salvation. And so when the Lord's people are all gathered up in glory, and they're doing the same thing that they did on earth. If you don't do it on earth, you won't ever do it in heaven. And that is praising the Lamb for His accomplished redemption. In the book of Revelation, look here, Revelation 1 and verse 5. He says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." People nowadays, when they talk about the blood, they say, you need to apply the blood to you. One preacher, I believe his name was Benny Hinn. He's a clown. He's just a false prophet. He said in one of his prayers for all his followers, he said, "I release unto you the efficacy of the blood of Jesus." Gosh knows. What blasphemy. God said, "When I see the blood." Look over in Revelation 5. Revelation 5 and verse 9. The heavenly scene is filled with this kind of song to the Lamb. "And they sung a new song, saying to this Lamb, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation." Chapter 7 of Revelation. Verse 14. "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest, who are these arrayed in white robes up there? And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Chapter 12. Verse 11. These people again, "And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." When I see the blood, I will pass. I will pass over you. But the only reason I can pass over you is because I didn't pass over your substitute, my son, the spotless Lamb. All of your sins have been dealt with justly in the Lamb. And the evidence is that His blood is shed. His blood is shed for the remission And that word is the same word that another place is translated forgiveness of sin. I want my sins forgiven. They have been forgiven. And I want to realize it more in my experience. Be able to believe it more. To trust it more. And I only can do that when I see what God sees. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. They were safe. Just like those in the ark were safe. Why? Because the judgment came against the ark. I hope the rest of the day, the rest of my life, I can sing in my soul, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Father, enable us by faith to look to the one that you look to the sacrifice for sins that he by himself made on that cross. We pray that you would, for his name's sake and in his person and work, forgive us, cause us to know that work accomplished for us and rest. Cause us to see as you see Christ. We ask it and pray in his name. Amen.
So much like what those Israelites partook of that night in Egypt. You see, the lamb had already been slain. And what they were doing, by God's own words, was a memorial. They couldn't see on the outside of their houses that night. But they had the promise of God, and they had these elements, these things for memorial, to remember. That's what the New Testament says the Lord's table is about, a remembering. We do show the Lord's death till he come. We partake of those things that represent his body and his blood. And just like those things of the lamb that they ate, it had no saving effect on them. It was just a remembering of that blood. And these have no saving effect on us. They just bring us to remember. And I believe to look again to the Lamb. The Lord instituted this supper. He prayed over the bread that was there at the Feast of Passover, which was unleavened bread, to show his what? Sinless body. There's another thing. Unleavened bread showed the sinlessness of Christ. And we show it again this morning. Father, we thank you this day. We thank you so much for your broken body. Sinless body. Wounded for our transgressions, counted and dealt with as though you had sinned, but you had not. We thank you for all it causes us to remember, to look to. We pray in Christ's name to give you thanks. Amen. my body, which is shed, which is broken for you. Paul said, if we eat or drink in an unworthy manner, we're guilty of the body and blood of Christ. So many interpret that in this way. If we acted unworthy, if we've done unworthy or somehow unworthy in ourselves, we'll not eat of this food, drink of this wine. That's not what he means at all. What he means, if we do it in an unworthy manner, which is not discerning the Lord's death, we just eat it as a ritual, we just eat it as food, we don't discern the Lord's death. We do it in an unworthy manner. Let's eat together. Let's drink together. This is the blood of the New Testament which was shed for me. Let's sing this morning. When I See the Blood. 280. I'm getting old. Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Chiefest of sinners, Jesus will save. All he has promised, that will he do. Wash in the fountain, open for sin, and I will pass over you. When I
the blood. When I see the blood. When I see the blood. I will pass over you. Judgment is coming. All will be there. Each one redeeming justly as you. Compassion, oh boundless love, oh loving kindness, faithful and true. Find peace and shelter under the blood. None I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood.
Steffi will join you.
God bless you. I love you.